Okay, we're going to go ahead and jump into our next session, the Implementation Insights, with our panel around the Provider Directory Initiative. And facilitating the panel today is Eyal Gurion. He is the Chief Operating Officer for IHA. We also have Raj Shah, who currently serves as Senior VP of Strategic Initiatives, and Melissa Serrell, who is the Senior Director of Compliance for Hill's Physicians Medical Group, and, of course, Mary Watanabe, who is the Acting Chief Deputy Director in the Department of Managed Healthcare.
Good morning. I am really pleased and excited to talk to you today about the Symphony Provider Directory utility and really summarize and celebrate our first year of operations. What we'll do today is I'll give some high-level overview on both IHA and Symphony. Raj here will take us deeper into the complexity of the contracting market in California and really how we address and solve it with Symphony. And then we'll do some QA with our wonderful panel today, and we'll hear some provider perspectives, regulatory perspectives, and plan perspectives as well. And we will make sure we leave enough time for Q&A at the end. So if you have any questions, please write them down. The Q&A with the audience is usually really engaging. This panel floats up some good questions. So great. I don't know if we have a clicker, or should I just do like this? Well, hopefully we'll get a clicker at some point.
That was good.
Okay, it worked. So just to introduce the Integrated Healthcare Association, I'm from the Integrated Healthcare Association. We're a not-for-profit trade association based actually in Oakland, not too far away from here. And we are governed by a board of 50 organizations. And really a robust representation of the healthcare industry. We have the national plans on our board, we have California-specific plans on our board, and across product lines, Medi-Cal, Medicare Advantage, commercial. We have physician organizations, medical groups, we have hospital systems, fully integrated systems like Kaiser, large purchasers like Covered California, CalPERS, UC, the Department of Managed Healthcare is on our board, CMS Region 9, and so on and so on. And this is not about name dropping, but really to paint the picture that IHA really represents the entire industry, not a specific stakeholder group, but really every meaningful stakeholder group that needs to be engaged when we think about big pain points. And IHA shines really when we bring the entire industry together to solve big problems that require everyone to participate, everyone to buy in, everyone to support a shared solution, a shared infrastructure. For example, we've been facilitating the largest pay-for-performance program in the country for the past 15 years. We publish the Cost and Quality Atlas. We do clinical improvement work with organizations. And Symphony is another example of how we bring the industry together to solve big problems. Next slide. All right, so I don't know if this is a surprise to you, but provider directory data is pretty bad. I know bad is not a technical term, but I'm gonna use the word bad. Provider directory data is pretty bad. And bad provider directory data has been a big pain point for our board members for many years. And it's been a pain point.
The magic tool.
Big green button.
Awesome. Thank you. Although I like doing this. It's been a big pain point for our board members for many years. And really, it boils down to the fragmentation of the California healthcare industry. If I'm a provider organization, or if I'm a single provider in California, I might be contracted with 10, 15, or even 20 health plans. That is actually possible, and we see that in the California healthcare market. And if I contract with 15 or 20 different health plans, I need to accommodate 10 or 15 different processes for provider data exchange, but not only provider data exchange. This is true for many different data sets, if it's encounter data, if it's clinical data, if it's provider directory data. Different plans have different ways of exchanging data with providers, different requirements, different file formats, different frequencies. These provider data rosters that providers get from plans could be Excel files with thousands of data elements that providers are required to go through manually. So really creating an operational burden on the provider community and eventually compromising both the volume and the quality of provider directory data. There's a lot of cost associated with managing provider directory data. We know that bad provider directory data impacts internal processes like contracting, credentialing, claim adjustments, but more than anything, bad provider directory data really impacts consumers at the end of the day. If the data that plans publish on their online directory is inaccurate, it can lead to consumers making the wrong purchasing decisions or care decisions, a lot of consumer complaints, and overall can compromise consumer trust in the overall systems. So it's really important for us, and it's really important for our board organizations and for the industry in general, to improve provider directory data. And provider directory data is, or bad provider directory data, or inaccurate provider directory data, is not just a California issue. It really is a national pain point that is amplified in California just because of how California is structured. But you see different states across the country developing and implementing policies aimed at improving provider directory data, improving provider directory data accuracy and quality, and really policies with the right intent. But zooming in specifically on California, California is really, really complicated for many reasons, in many aspects, but also in the context of provider directory data. I don't know if you're familiar, but Senate Bill 137 is probably the most stringent regulation today related to provider directory data, putting in place new requirements on data standards, frequency of collecting data, granularity of data being collected. It puts requirements and expectations on the plan side to get the data from providers and giving them levers to exercise various options if they don't get the data from providers. So really putting the industry under a lot of, I would say, requirements, expectations, and pressure. But it's not just SB 137. Many of the plans and providers in California actually have multiple business lines that they accommodate. SB 137 would be true for commercial, but you also have Medi-Cal requirements that are somewhat different but also have some nuances to them. You have CMS requirements for collecting provider directory data that there's some overlap, but there's some nuances there as well. So really this only adds to the complexity of collecting and managing provider directory data. So what are we trying to do here with Symphony? Our vision for Symphony is really to develop a collaborative process that the entire industry participates in to improve provider directory data on an ongoing basis. It's really about providing providers with a single process for them to follow to manage and exchange provider directory data with all the plans they contract with. If a provider makes an update that's plan specific, only that specific plan gets that notification. If a provider makes an update that's relevant for multiple plans they contract with, Symphony needs to orchestrate, coordinate that update with all the various participants. On the plan side, we also serve as that single process and really try to relieve some of the pressure and some of the investments that they make in provider outreach, provider data validation, reconciliation, and so on. So really build this platform, this infrastructure that sits between all providers and all plans and other stakeholders to streamline and improve provider directory data in California. And again, the overarching goal is really to make sure that the data that gets to consumers at the end of the day is accurate data and they can make the right decisions. But there's also some supporting goals or supporting issues that provider directory data or better provider directory data can drive. Again, if it's internal processes on the plan or provider side where provider directory data plays a meaningful role. So what's IHA's role with Symphony? And this is true not just for Symphony, this is true for everything IHA is doing. When you think about large-scale initiatives and when you think about meaningful industry pain points, by far the most important thing to do is to set up the right governance structure. Setting up the right governance structure means bringing the entire industry together to think about the solution, to design the solution, to implement the solution, and to provide oversight. Oversight on how the initiative is going, oversight on quality of the data, oversight on policy changes, and so on. This is not about IHA as an organization leading this initiative. This is really about IHA bringing the industry together to help us lead this initiative on an ongoing basis. Beyond governance, we need to make sure that there's sustainable funding for these types of initiatives, and the organizations that participate help us fund this on an ongoing basis. We need to make sure that we stay close to both state and federal regulations and make sure that both our technology platform and our overall program around it accommodates changes in policy, both state and federal, and we'll hear some of that later today. And a really big component is outreach and education to the provider community. Many of the downstream providers that we engage with, some of them don't know what SB 137 is. Some of them don't know what's really required of them as it relates to provider directory data. They get multiple requests from multiple plans and multiple third parties for data. And sometimes it's hard to really rationalize what are all these requests and what do I actually need to do. So a big component of what we do is exactly that, outreach and education through partnerships with provider associations, medical associations, and so forth. So we started this back in 2017. IHA was selected by a multi-stakeholder committee to stand up the utility and lead its operations. Funding for this originally came from the undertaking requirements from Blue Shield after their acquisition of CareFirst back in 2015. So IHA was selected and received meaningful seed funding to get this up and running. 2018 was really about we led a pretty robust RFP process, and we did our soft launch in 2018 with Anthem, HealthNet, Blue Shield, Hill Physicians, and several other provider organizations and small practices. And we actually rolled this up commercially. We went live, quote unquote, back in January of 2019. And 2019 was really about building scale. So getting more providers and more plans join in, participate in Symphony, and really help us build critical mass of participation to drive value to the industry. As we look forward to 2020 and 2021, it's really continuing our work to build critical mass on the provider side and the plan side. But also go into new segments, new provider segments, if it's ancillary providers, if it's dental providers, if it's behavioral health, and make sure that every single provider type that's in scope for SB 137 is actually included in the utility. To date, we have 11 plans participating in Symphony. again, in various stages of onboarding. Some of these plans have completely onboarded and fully engaged with the process. Some of these plans are in the process of onboarding. When you think about large plans, large national plans, everyone's going through data migration of some sort, and really onboarding a large and complex organization like that can take anywhere between 6 months to a full year. So we're actively onboarding these health plans, and at the same time bring in both independent practices and provider organizations. And I think to date, we have 95 provider organizations on the platform, which actually already represents a critical mass of participation. So 2019 has been a fabulous year from gaining traction. And we invite all of you, if you're not sure if your organization is part of Symphony, please reach out to me or to Raj or to anyone from IHA so we can continue that conversation. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Raj.
Thank you, sir. All right, so I'm going to spend a little bit of time kind of diving more into the platform, talk a little bit about the data. I've been working on this for a number of years now, and I've spoken at a lot of these events talking about the process, but we're kind of at a point now where we're getting more into the data. We're actually starting to see the results. I want folks to kind of understand where we are today and where we see things going in the future. So the first thing is just from a complexity problem, the issues that we've been trying to solve for a number of years was that, especially in California, providers have very complex contracted relationships. We often see providers that are participating in multiple IPAs. We see a lot of different managed service organizations involved. We see ACOs. We've got health plans that are oftentimes renting networks to other health plans. And when you start talking about a provider directory, if you don't have the ability to understand those relationships and how the marketplace is actually dealing with the provider, you're never going to be able to solve a consumer-facing directory. The other big thing about it is because you have so many organizations dealing with the same provider, you have data living in a lot of different places for the same individual. So you have to be able to put together a collaborative platform that's going to integrate that information in a way that's going to be meaningful, understand those relationships, and ultimately be able to report that out. The other big thing is you start talking about a piece of information and you start to wonder, well, why is it difficult to understand the answer to that question? And the reality is, if you take something like, is this provider accepting new patients? It seems like a simple question, but it's really actually very complex. Depending on where that provider's practicing out of, which health plans are they contracted with, what networks are they being put into, what products are they being are participating in. When you start to kind of dive into that, you realize that one question is actually many, many questions. And you have to be able to kind of go back to that, those relationships, and understand what specifically am I asking the provider to answer in order to get the right piece of information to publish in an online directory. And when you think about that, that's just for one particular area of information. We're dealing with dozens of data elements, if not hundreds of data elements. So when you think about that across the spectrum, we're actually talking about a lot of reconciliation that has to happen. From me personally, I've seen how this has been kind of dealt with in the marketplace. If you're familiar with these Excel-based roster files that are happening between provider groups and health plans, it's archaic, and it's actually caused more problems, I think, for the marketplace. I think it's actually making the data worse, and the process is really, really broken. Right? What we're trying to do is really bring about a new process that's going to help deal with that underlying problem so that we can actually get the right results. So to talk a little bit about the platform, again, it's very collaborative. So we're trying to bring together health plans, provider groups, and individual practices and providers. I think oftentimes the industry has looked at, do I just go directly to the provider? Do I just call their office and try to get the answers and the information directly? Or do I just deal with the health plan? And especially in California, you have to factor in the provider groups and the provider organizations. It's such a big part of the marketplace. So we're really about trying to bring everyone together onto a centralized platform. We bring in things like reference data. It's very common. I mean, if you've ever worked with a lot of the other vendors out there, they all use reference sources. But we also have to understand, are there authoritative sources that we need to go to get the right answer to a question? We also want to be able to bring together these organizations in a data exchange process that makes a lot of sense. Large provider organizations have very complex systems, just like health plans. So we have to be able to integrate that information the same way and treat them very similarly like a health plan in order to properly get them in a model that's going to work. And then it's about really how do we start looking at a provider across the marketplace? How do we start flagging discrepancies? How do we start producing notifications and reporting back to all the people that need to know about that provider? It's not just that provider or their provider group. It's also the health plans. All these different people need to know. And when you start putting things in a centralized platform, we become the best place to be able to figure out, when I know about an issue, who all do I need to tell about that? And that starts to reduce a lot of the overhead, because right now everything's been in a silo. Health plans have added their own processes, and it's caused a lot of outreach to the provider community. We're trying to reduce a lot of that overhead. And as that information gets consumed, we also have to make sure it gets back to the health plans in a way that they can actually put it into their systems. I've said this a number of times. I could do a really good job of packaging up a piece of information, but if you can't consume it in your own internal system, we're kind of missing the boat. And then this has to be just kind of rinse and repeat. We have to have this cyclical process that's going to be able to deal with this on an ongoing basis. Right now, the frequency by which the health plans are reconciling with the provider community, it's too infrequent. We have to be able to get this to be more of a real-time process. Otherwise, you know, if you think about a quarterly outreach, the provider groups spend a quarter with these roster Excel files. They get them fixed up. They send them back to the plan. The plan then spends another month or so consuming that data. That's now 4 months have gone by from the original point of trying to reconcile a piece of information. We have to get that down to a better cycle. From our perspective, a big part of what we're doing is how do we put together a success model that's going to help the clients really deal with this process. And it's not just a technical thing, it's a business process as well. So we go through a very specific onboarding with all of our provider groups and our health plans. And there's a variety of steps that we like to go through. Depending on your organization, this can be very quick, or it can take a very long time. We've definitely seen how in a complex health plan, this onboarding process can take a year, it can take longer than a year. And the fact that we're now kind of getting to the end of year one, we're starting to see where it's working, where do we need to improve on that process, what has to change in the process for that to work for individualized health plans. And it's really about putting together a model that's going to continue with ongoing operations, understanding the business processes of each individual health plan, and how do they deal with their provider network. This is not a cookie-cutter model. We can't tell everyone to do everything the exact same way. We have to have it tailored, and our client success model is about dealing with that tailorment. The other big thing is we have to understand where everyone is in their maturity model of being able to deal with data. Not everyone's at the same place. Not every organization has the same capabilities or the resources. And so we look at everyone and we start to try to bring them through a maturity model that's going to make sense for them. It's going to help them get from where they are today to where they need to be. And as a part of that, we start with kind of what is your process today? How do you reconcile data? Do you even have a process for reconciling data? And then we start to look at how does that need to now get fit into a model where we can be exchanging data regularly? How can we also be dealing with the fact that you've got this very complex network of providers that we have to understand all those different reconciliation points? And then how do we start to facilitate a data exchange that's going to also integrate with your internal systems? The biggest struggle that I think we've seen over the past year is that health plan's internal processes, doesn't matter how big the health plan is, a lot of it's manual. So we have to figure out how to get from that manual process to a more automated approach. And this sort of maturity model is really a big part of what our client success team does, but it's also about how to really put together a collaborative platform that's going to deal with this. We saw some interesting stats during the soft launch. One of the big things that we initially focused in on was, do the health plans and the provider groups even agree on who's in the network? This is a very fundamental point before you even start talking about reconciling individual data elements. And what we saw was there was a very large discrepancy from some of the plans with some of their provider groups. In some cases, we're talking a very high percentage that are either missing from the network or they actually need to be removed because they shouldn't be in the network. And we then started to facilitate a reconciliation between those provider groups and those health plans to try to see if we could bring down that discrepancy. Obviously, when you start talking about removing a provider from a directory or adding a provider, there's other processes that have to be dealt with, everything from credentialing to contracting to, you know, if you terminate a PCP on a directory, well, you have to now talk about member movement, and all those different things had to kind of play a role, which is why it doesn't just happen overnight. We saw a lot of improvement. Clearly, there's still more work to be done there. But now we're kind of getting into a model where we're able to figure out how to deal with that. And it's about just continuously pushing that model down so that the improvement over time will get to a much better spot. In some cases, we didn't see the results that we were looking for. We saw the data actually get a little bit worse. And then we have to kind of look at, well, what was the root cause of that? And sometimes it's those internal processes that have to be dealt with and tailored with a little bit more specifically in order to figure out how does this process and how does this collaborative platform actually work for you? Because clearly, in some cases, it wasn't. In 2019, we started focusing a lot on data quality. We've got a lot of different metrics that we've been trying to capture and monitor over time. When we look at things like network participation or access to service locations or just even how to contact a service location, we've started to see improvement. If you look at access to service locations, we were able to bridge a fairly significant gap. There's still obviously some work there to be done, but that was a really important point for us because that's a very consumer-facing issue right there. From network participation, that actually should say 0.5%, we were able to close the gap between a health plan and a provider group down to a fraction of a percent. And when we start looking at how does this work across the marketplace, if we can do that between, two different endpoints, we now have to figure out how to scale that out across many, many provider groups and many, many health plans. And just even being able to improve the contact information, like how do I contact a phone number to make an appointment at a service location? A lot of that information is oftentimes incorrect. We were able to see quite a bit of improvement just in our reconciliation process of that. The other thing was, as we looked at quality, we started to think about what is the approach that we want to take to truly monitor quality. And we broke it into these three tiers, with the tier one really being things that have a high consumer impact that needs to be addressed immediately. When we start talking about reconciling data with a health plan, you can't boil the ocean. You can't try to solve everything all at once. And so giving some very focused endpoints to the health plans to say, these are the things we really want to focus in on first, and then we can start looking at the medium issues and then the lower priority issues. For us, the medium things were things that really caused confusion. They weren't necessarily a barrier to care, but they were going to cause frustration for the consumer. And then the low priority issues were really not consumer facing, but they were just data problems that still needed to be fixed. And then this sort of put together a model where the health plans could get things in a more manageable chunk, then they can figure out how to actually put that into their process. When you try to throw all these reports and information to a health plan all at once, they don't always have the resources or the capabilities or the time to figure out everything. So having these kind of tiers really allowed us to segment it the right way. And we started to look at stuff like just even simple things. Like, are you publishing a service location in your directory that's really not a service location? Or are you showing a specialty for a provider that's not consistent with the medical training that they have, which could cause a lot of confusion? Or do we just have basic identification issues that this provider is deceased or they're no longer practicing in California? Those are obviously very important things that need to be dealt with right away. And so now that we've started to put together that model, what we're doing is we're tracking that quality over time. We're kind of in the end of year one, but we're now going to look at how does that improve over the next couple of years. And that's, to me, where this model is really going to start to show why you want to have this be centralized and how does this actually work in a really the largest initiative of its kind in the country. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Eyal, who is going to talk a little bit about the white paper. And
sure. So we actually have a new white paper that we've published a few weeks ago, really summarizing and going through the key insights and learnings from the first year of operations. We have a booth just outside. You can go out, turn right, and you can either sign up for Symphony, take a look at the white paper, or just have a chat with us. We actually have a video, but I want to be mindful of time and spend some time with the panel, so I think we'll go back to the video at the end if we have time, because I do want to make sure that we get the feedback from our wonderful panel. Join the movement. Okay. So thank you again for coming. Mary, maybe we start with you. So SB 137 was a big catalyst for all this work around provider directory data. Can you maybe both share just feedback to date that you got on SB 137 and the steps the department is taking to make updates to regulations in coming months?
Sure, yeah. So I'll start with, I think I started with the department in 2015, and I started SB 137 implementation was one of the first projects I was assigned on the implementation side. And I started to tell everybody, okay, everybody take a deep breath. We're on a five-year plan with this. And I'm becoming very mindful that fifth year is next year. I will have been at the department for 5 years. But really, we were tasked with developing standards of kind of, you know, the data elements, standardization of the data elements and the look and feel of how you search for provider information. As you all know, we released those standards at the end of 2016. The plans had until 2018, January 1st, to implement those. There's also an annual filing requirement, and for those of you that engage with us around that, I will just tell you that it's going to be pretty much business as usual on the filing requirements. The checklist is going to stay the same until we get regulations in place. And so part of the requirements of SB 137 was for us to formalize and codify the standards in regulation by January 1st of 2021. So in terms of where we are in the regulation development, we really kind of hit pause after we released those first standards to acknowledge the big lift it was going to be for you all to implement that. We knew that IHA and Symphony was getting up and running, and we wanted there to be time to kind of implement those standards and for us to see how that goes. So those standards have been out there. Everybody's been trying them. There's lots of lessons learned. We did have an opportunity to make some adjustments to those standards, which we did not take up that opportunity. And so really where we are with the regulation process is we're looking at what worked well with those initial standards, what didn't we define that should be defined, are there pain points like panel status in the initial standards that we should take another look at. The other piece that we are looking at is really how do we align what we're doing with provider directories with our annual network filings. I think one of the pain points that we hear a lot of just things are defined for different processes differently. And so there's different reporting requirements that require some sort of manual manipulation of data. So we're trying to really take a thoughtful process to align things like plan and product naming conventions, network naming conventions, how we define provider groups to be consistent across all the things that the department does. We will be working with the Department of Insurance, and we're anticipating a stakeholder process towards the end of the first quarter of next year. So just know we'll be sharing those regulations, a draft, before we have the stakeholder process, and look forward to engaging with you. We have been working very closely with IHA to really get feedback on Symphony and how those standards have worked, applying it across the industry. How are the interactions with both the Medi-Cal and Medicare guidelines as well? So lots more work to come, but we are in some ways kind of coming towards the tail end of that five-year implementation cycle.
Awesome. And we really appreciate the relationship and engagement with DMHC. Obviously, regulation and compliance are a big driver to our participants, and we want to make sure that we're aligned. Awesome. Melissa, if you can first just share more about your role and your involvement with Symphony to date.
Yeah, so I'm the compliance director at Hill Physicians, and so part of our responsibility is obviously to maintain compliance with rules and regulations, one of them being SB 137. So when the regulation came out, our organization, like many of yours, changed processes and did what we could to try to comply with the regulation, but it was really hard. And we were still getting all these different outreaches from various organizations, whether it be the plans or third parties that the plans had hired to try to get our information, and then as well from our downstream providers, and it just seemed a little discombobulated. And then we partnered with IHA and joined the pilot of Symphony, and it's been a really great journey, and it's I think that's really important to know about Symphony is when you come on board, it truly is a journey. You start in one place, and by no means is that where you're going to end up. So our relationship has been over the past 2 years, a lot of collaboration. They've provided a really, which I think is important, a really safe place for the provider and the plan to have a conversation. And maybe our data is wrong, and maybe the plan's data is wrong. And as long as we're doing it through the Symphony platform and that environment, that was okay. And it was okay for us to tell a plan, you know, actually, I think we might be doing this wrong. Or the plan to say, you know what, I think maybe our intake hasn't been correct. And that was just, it's a great forum to ask questions and to find out a lot about your data. And so, and the entire time, both GAIN and IHA were in all of these meetings sort of guiding us and directing us. And so our involvement has really been a collaborative involvement with both IHA and GAIN. I've had many conversations with DMHC about this and with the plans. And so we're here today. We're, you know, we've come through the pilot. The pilot's pretty much over. There's still a lot to learn. The journey's still continuing. And now, you know, we're live with this. And it's been a big help to our organization. You know, for example, when it was time to review rosters as an IPA, we would have to review rosters from all these different plans because we're contracted upstream with many different plans. And it was a big effort to do that. Reviewing our data 13, 14 times was a really big effort. And, you know, not all plans had our data correct. And that may have been our fault, and that may have been the plan's fault. But at the end of the day, it was just a really big effort to do that. But now, through IHA and Symphony, you know, we send our data to the platform. It takes our data and it spits it out to the plans, and that's it. Like, it's a centralized place where all the data is stored. And so we're the plans who are part of this, we're no longer getting these annual or even ad hoc requests to review data anymore. It's a very centralized, streamlined process. And, you know, some of the provider groups who may not be part of this, if you're still getting emails from these plans saying review our data, when we get those emails, we don't have to answer those because we do everything through Symphony. And it's just been a really great process so that we can really minimize the effort, the manual administrative effort, and put all of that effort into really making sure that our data is correct.
Thank you. Maybe a quick follow-up because you kind of answered the first two. Appreciating that every provider organization is slightly different, what would you say to a provider organization that is considering joining Symphony?
And so I would say a couple things. One is take your time. So once you come on board, it's not like the next month you're going to be ready, set to go. It's going, like I said, to be a journey. You're going to learn that your data is not, maybe not as accurate as you thought it was. So how it works is that you submit your data, and then Symphony spits out this magical report that tells you where your data is different than the masses. And so then you can go back and check all of those discrepancies in your own system and fix it right away. So, you know, you may have great processes, you may have a robust, mature system to outreach to your providers and to make sure your data is correct and that, you know, you maintain the integrity of your provider data. And then all of a sudden you get back this report from Symphony and you see all these fields that, you know, maybe that wasn't the correct legal license name, but they've identified it for you right there. Or maybe, you know, you didn't realize that a provider's license was expiring soon and they've identified it for you right there. So you have this report that comes back and, you know, tells you where your data is different, and you also have these reports that tells you, so for example, HealthNet or Anthem or Blue Shield, where your data differs from theirs, right? Because you may have different networks for different plans. So the first thing I would say is to take your time and to utilize these reports to make sure that your own data is correct. Because before you can really start exchanging data with the plans and making this your centralized hub for communication and exchanging provider directory information, your data has to be correct. And so, you know, don't be overwhelmed or alarmed or, you know, say there's no way we can fix this when you get that first report. Because once you get that first report and you fix everything, then it's kind of smooth sailing after that. So really, really take your time. The second thing I would say is partner. Okay, so we're a provider group. We happen to partner with one of the plans in the pilot program, and that collaboration between the two of us, I think, made all the difference. We interpreted something one way, the plan interpreted it some way else. We never would have known that that's how the plans, you know, were taking our information or interpreting that data, but through that collaboration, we learned so much about data and data exchange. You know, we don't get that, you know, lens into how the payers use our data or file our data or store our data or intake that data. We never knew that, how that happened on that side. We only had it from the provider, the IPA side. So seeing it from that view was really eye-opening for us. So if you can, try to partner with, you know, if you're a provider, try to partner with a plan if you have a good relationship. Or if you're a plan, try to partner with the provider group. And, you know, Hill Physicians is always open to partnerships as well. So if you're a new plan coming on board and you want to have that, you know, insight as to how we collect our data, then we're really happy to partner with you because it has made a world of difference. And then I would say that the third thing is probably, I had a third thing. It was really important. Hang on. It was that, yes. This is really important. Be prepared to change your internal processes. So you will not be able to fit your current process into Symphony. Okay, that's the reason that we're in this mess in the first place, right? Because we all have these different internal processes and they don't line up. There's no centralized, standardized process. So you have to come into this and not try to fit the product into what you're doing. You have to try to fit what you're doing and change that so that you can be part of this bigger effort, so that we all have the same processes. We're all exchanging data the same way. And so just, you know, come into it with, you know, sort of the notion that things are going to have to change, but they're going to change for the better. They may be a little harder, you know, because you've been doing this forever and you don't want to change. There's a lot of effort. But if we can all just make that first, you know, leap and change our processes to standardize, it'll just, you know, it'll fix all the problems that Raj and Ayal were talking about, the access to care. And, you know, really we're doing this for our members and our patients so that they can find the provider that they need to get the care that they need. So be prepared to change, I would say.
Awesome. Thank you, Melissa. Maybe two more questions and then we'll open it up for Q&A. Usually we have a plan partner on stage with us, but because of holidays and schedule conflicts, it wasn't possible this time. But Mary, you engage with plans on a regular basis. Can you share maybe feedback that you're getting from plans that obviously engage with the department on provider data and Symphony specifically?
Yeah, and I mean, I think this is really piggybacking on what Melissa said too. Anytime you're changing a process, particularly something of this magnitude, it's going to be bumpy. And as a regulator, I think, you know, when IHA first shared the statistics about, you know, the lack of alignment in the data, everybody was really worried about what the DMHC was going to say. And I was probably the one most excited about it because I think for the first time we had transparency on how challenging this was going to be. And to me, you can't fix it if you're not transparent about what the problem was or is. And so, I think we've really encouraged the plans and provider groups and the industry to come together and engage around fixing this problem, being transparent about the challenges. The other thing that I will say is just this effort of the industry coming together to have plans that are competitors sitting at a table trying to solve problems, provider groups engaging, to talk about challenges across the industry and really make productive steps forward is serving as a model for the country for many other efforts, which I'll talk about some of those in my later presentation. But I really just want to acknowledge and thank both IHA and those that have participated for coming together and really tackling these big problems. And so on a regulatory side, one of the things that plans need to do is really they have to file their contracts if they're delegating a function with us. And what I would just encourage you to do is if you're thinking about getting involved, you're not sure about how this is going to work and how you're going to meet the regulatory compliance, work with us. Talk to your licensing counsel. Escalate to me if you need to. We really want everybody to be successful because this is about consumers getting access to care. There's things we can do to work with you as you're transitioning your systems. There's a transition period that's going to be bumpy. You're going to have to change your processes. You may have to run parallel processes for a while. So I guess from a regulatory perspective, I would tell you to work with us. I think that's one of the phone calls I get a lot of. We're not sure what to do. We really want to be thoughtful, but this sounds like a tremendous amount of work and parallel processes. What do we file with you? So we want to work with you. I would say the other thing that I hear, and I've been hearing for all the almost 5 years that I've been working on this, is provider fatigue. Provider fatigue is the biggest issue that comes up over and over again, whether it's on timely access and the 12 to 15 vendors that are making phone calls to providers to assess their appointment wait times, whether it's the huge number of outreach that's happening on provider directories. There's other initiatives that are happening where there's phone calls that are happening. Providers are tired, their staff are tired. They just want to see patients. And so the more that we can look at kind of these industry-wide efforts to reduce provider burden, to streamline processes, to use the technology that exists, is something that we collectively as an industry need to do. And it's something that as a regulator, we are nudging. We don't collect any of this data, but we are kind of nudging the industry in the right direction. Through these mergers, we have made investments to make sure that we're tackling some of these really big pain points that are really at the end of the day about consumer access to care.
Awesome. Thank you. So last question to the panel. Raj, you've been into this for before Symphony and probably a couple of years as part of Symphony. Did you learn anything new in the past year as it relates to provider directory data?
I've learned a lot of things over the past few years, but I would say that a couple of things that I've looked at from just having been through this process now with multiple plans and groups is that one, I think everyone's very willing now to want to participate in something like this. I know there's been other attempts to try to do something similar, but it just never quite got off the ground. What I see is that I think every group, every plan has very similar challenges. And so by having us be centralized, it makes a lot of sense because we're solving a lot of the same problems. But I also still see that there's a lot of work to be done. As I said before, there's still a lot of this that's very manual. There's still a lot of legacy processes, legacy systems that have to be dealt with. And this is not something that is just going to be fixed overnight, right? You have to start getting engaged now because it's going to take a long time to get that all straightened out. And so if you're not pushing yourself now, you're never going to be in a good place in the next year, 2 years, 3 years. I also think it's interesting to see not just from a state perspective, but from a federal perspective. There's a lot of different standards and a lot of different proposals and things that are coming out. And I think it's going to be to the benefit of a model like Symphony to be able to help drive and control some of that. Mm-hmm. Because what we don't want to have happen is we don't want to have there be this bifurcated processes all over the place. And we want to be able to start driving towards standards. And the way you drive towards standards is you get involved in a collaborative like this.
Great. We have a few more minutes. I want to open this up to questions from the audience. I think there's a mic over there. You can either raise your hand or do like this. This also works.
You got one over here.
You're going to get your steps in.
Please state your name and your organization.
Good morning. My name is Michael O'Malley. I'm the plan administrator for AIDS Healthcare Foundation. We operate a C-SNP Medicare Advantage plan and an AIDS specialty Medi-Cal managed care plan in Los Angeles County. Provider data is partly the bane of my existence at the office. Question, we are contracted with several smaller providers, provider groups. Is there any legislation forthcoming that you're aware of that would mandate these providers participate in this to put their data in? Because as you noted, provider fatigue is one of our biggest hurdles to getting this data we need for the directories.
So I can't see you because the light's shining right above your head, but I think that's for me. So I'm not aware of any legislation that is coming. We were asked quite a bit through this entire process of where are we going to put in the regulations or mandate that plans and providers participate in Symphony. And the reality is that as a regulator, our job is to ensure compliance with the law and the laws that are passed, and it really is not our place or appropriate for us to endorse a particular vendor. As you all know, there's other vendors that are out there, and that's okay if you're participating in them. Just make sure you file a contract with us. And so I think there is not this requirement that everybody has to join Symphony. I think, you know, that you've heard a lot of the value proposition. I think you can get more information. I think providers and plans are really we're waiting to see how this all would work out. I think we're hoping that there is enough incentive that people will see the value in an industry solution. So the short answer is there's not any legislation that I'm aware of, and we're not planning to put that into our regulation. But we want to make sure that everybody is complying with the requirements of SB 137.
And thanks, Mary. The only thing I would add is working with over 90 provider organizations to date, if you think about provider fatigue, Symphony has a clear value proposition tied directly to that. So in our discussions with providers, that's a big part of the discussion. And we are seeing a lot of traction, and mainly because of that.
All right, we've got a question over here on your left.
Hi, my name is Marie Mercado-Grijalva, and I am with LA Care Health Plan. We are wondering, does IHA plan to expand the set of data elements to meet other regulatory requirements in addition to SB 137?
Sure. So the data model or the platform to date supports SB 137, but also Medi-Cal and Medicare Advantage. And I think and maybe Raj, you can chime in here, but the actual data model can support a lot of other data elements. Some of the plans that we talked to are thinking about introducing additional proprietary data elements to the data exchange, and we hear a lot of that, not necessarily tied to a specific regulation, but a specific business need. And our point of view and our position is, we actually want to bring the plans together to figure out what are some of these business-specific data elements can bring value to multiple plans and really introduce them to the data model versus every plan bringing their own proprietary data elements, because then we will recreate the same problem that we're essentially trying to solve. But Raj, I don't know.
Yeah, one thing I'll add to it as well is that, yes, we are solving provider directory today, but this information is used for so many other things in your operations, right? Everything from claims adjudication to credentialing to contract management. So we are supporting a very expansive data model, knowing that not everything is just for provider directories, but getting into a centralized model for that, solving that one problem, allows us to then solve future problems in those other areas as well.
And if I could just add, I mean, I think as you all can imagine, the possibility for how this data could be used for assessing network adequacy, timely access, I think we all get a little bit excited about thinking about the possibility of what we could do, and this could be the single source of truth for your network. But we also feel very strongly that IHA needs to be successful in this effort, and we need to give them the time to get critical mass and get everybody on board and really fine-tune this. So I think we also have been like holding back on what we would love to see IHA do with this data to really see, as time progresses and they refine the process, what we might be able to do. And that's just on our wish list. I know the plans have a lot on theirs as well, and providers.
Awesome.
All right, we've got a question over here on your right.
Good morning. I'm Alice Nelson from Providence St. Joe's Healthcare. My question is, what implications do you see for provider credentialing and simplifying that?
Raj, you want to take that?
it's an interesting topic. I mean, one of the things that I would say very early on as we started working with this was a lot of people asked about credentialing. Are we going to support credentialing? And I think that this is a gateway into solving some of the problems with the credentialing process, given that there's just so much overlap in the information that we're dealing with. But credentialing is a very different process, and it's got its very own specific needs. I think that with our platform, we're getting into a more collaborative model with some of the other organizations as well that deal with credentialing specifically. And I think a lot of credentialing companies are talking about, can they have a gateway into this same platform so that as providers are getting credentialed, their information could automatically be flowing into Symphony and vice versa. So there's a lot of use cases that are out there for us to be able to help maybe bridge that gap. But I think to the original point, we got to get this one problem solved and then figure out how to expand it out to things like credentialing.
We've got time for one more question. It's going to be ahead and slightly to your left.
Hi, I'm Shelley Siegel with Medicare Compliance Solutions, and we work with many Medicare Advantage plans. I was wondering if one of the output reports is providing the provider and data in the CMS format of the provider table.
Yeah, so just from a data perspective, we're an integration platform, so we have the ability to not only take in data from a variety of formats, but output data into a variety of formats. We get asked about things like 274 for Medicaid requirements. We get talked about CMS requirements. That is really just about, as we're working with an organization, how do they need to consume and see data? Again, we have the ability of dealing with any kind of output that we need to, and that's, I think, a benefit of our platform, is that it's not a technology problem. It's really just about what is the use case you're trying to solve for.
So currently, are you providing that data in the provider CMS provider table?
So we have in the past. It's not something that we're doing for every organization. Most organizations haven't asked us necessarily for that, maybe because they already have internal processes. They're like, I just need to get it into my system so that I can output it into those formats. So
thank
it's really
you.
Just about what is the need.
All right, and with that, we thank our panel very much for their presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think just huge issue, huge undertaking, a lot of work being done, but just applaud the team for pulling this together and kicking it off. I would just say to the organization, as we look at this and kind of back to what I was talking about this morning, maybe trying to coordinate some of the work that is occurring on the ICE side in some of these areas with you all so that that feed is there and we have that opportunity for sharing information. I think when you talk about process change, and improvement, as this impacts a lot of different, you know, operating models, it would be good to get that feedback right up front, and this would be an opportunity for us to work together in that.
Absolutely.
That. So, great stuff. Thank you so much.